This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Joining us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, gentleman who's been with us before, thrilled to have him back. You see him on ESPN talking about college basketball, former Duke Blue Devil. He's an attorney. He worked with Mike Krzyzewski as an assistant coach at Duke. He's Mr. Jay Billis. Jay, good to have you back.
Good to be back. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. How about you? Are you hanging in there during this very odd time in our nation's history, our world's history?
Yeah, I'm doing as well as you could expect, and hope you guys are too.
We are, actually, and we were just talking the last segment about some of the rumbling going on right now about the NCAA maybe getting closer to allowing college athletes to sign some endorsement contracts, receive payment for other work. I know it's been something that you've talked about in the past. Where exactly does this stand right now, Jay?
Well, a working group led by Gene Smith, the AD at Ohio State, and Val Ackerman, the commissioner of the Big East, just made some recommendations to the Board of Governors, which is, you know, kind of typical of the NCAA. They form a committee and they go to another committee and all that stuff. But you expect to have some sort of word on this by January of 2021. Now the membership, all the different schools are going to comment on it and give suggestions, all that business. So we'll see how it goes. But what seems to be clear is that the NCAA is moving toward allowing some name, image, and likeness rights to players so they can do endorsement deals, which is a complete about-face of the last 110 years of NCAA existence, where they have said that, you know, you allow a nickel above cost of attendance, and the players are pros, they're employees, and college sports essentially ceases to be what it was supposed to be. So by you know, sort of making these recommendations and the fact that they were endorsed by the Board of Governors to move forward indicates that there was no principle involved in any of the arguments that the NCAA was making. You know, it's essentially like under oath they were lying, because, you know, in October of 2019, when California was trying to pass the Fair Pay to Play Act, Mark Emmert said this is an existential threat to college sports. He said that if athletes are allowed to do endorsements, they are in fact professionals, and they would be de facto employees of the university. And now we have this. So what is it? Like, what were you saying back in in October? Were you telling the truth, lying, incorrect? Like, you know, there needs to be some clarity there, because yesterday on a press call, Mark Emmert made it sound like, well, we've been trying to do this for years, and all we faced is litigation and trying to help the athlete. I'm like, what? And I was saying, huh? Like, you've been trying to do what now? So it's an interesting position that the NCAA finds itself in right now.
Jay, I don't see how they're going to do it. Like, some of the things that came out from yesterday, the one line I keep glaring at is, you know, they're talking about agreements that can't interfere with the NCAA's goals of diversity, equality, and inclusion. Well, I mean, I think the headline is a lot bigger than the actual story. Because, I mean, how many guys are actually going to have endorsement deals? You know, you can see it at D1 where guys might be popular and can help out a car dealer to sell a couple cars. But I don't think it's going to affect that many athletes. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you can help me out with that. But I also don't know how they can make this equal. Like, help me, because I'm so confused. And when we got you on the show today, I'm like, maybe somebody can help this. And if there's anybody that can help me, it's a guy that's got the legal background that you do too.
Well, first of all, it will be a lot of players. It will not just be a few. And the reach will be profound, not just for, you know, selling a few cars, but social media influencing. There are a number of ways that athletes are going to be able to make money out in the free market. And I don't see where everything being equal is even relevant. I mean, right now, all athletes don't even get scholarships. There's no equality of pay among coaches or administrators. So, you know, like, we're not complaining about not every athlete getting equal playing time. So we think that we can jerry rig some system where they're going to get equal pay. And if we can't guarantee equal pay, then nobody gets anything. That's not the real world. So, you know, to me, equality of opportunity is the issue, and how you deal with that is the free market. And so, you know, you can certainly look at, we're asking these players to choose among unequal institutions. So they can certainly factor in, hey, I'd be able to make money if I went to Wichita State. I wouldn't make as much if I were the fourth best player at Kansas, so I'm going to go to Wichita State. Or they say, well, I don't really care about that amount of money. I'd rather be at Kansas where I can play for a national championship or something like that. We've always had these kind of arguments where people would say, hey, you know, you let players have name, image, and likeness rights, then T. Boone Pickens is just going to pay for the best team. Well, first of all, if somebody wants to do that, that's fine. That's free market. But the second thing is it assumes that everybody's going to act irrationally. And one thing I know about, you know, T. Boone Pickens has passed away, the Oklahoma State benefactor. But if he was going to open up his wallet to win, don't you think he would have opened up his wallet to hire better coaches? I mean, he's got, you know, before he passed away, he had Mike Gundy and Mike Boynton. He didn't go to pay to get Nick Saban and Bill Self or Mike Krzyzewski or Roy Williams. So the idea that people are going to do that, I think, is just absurd. Open it up. We don't need guardrails, just like we don't need guardrails for coaches' pay or coaches' endorsements or the like. The free market works really well for everybody else except college athletes for the last 110 years. I think it'll work just fine for college athletes too.
Jay Billis is joining us from ESPN, the former Duke Blue Devil. It's been kind of interesting to watch the NBA G League start to look at the kids coming out of high school and bringing them in through that new program where they're going to be able to make several hundred thousand dollars. And the pathway program, several hundred thousand dollars, get trained in the ways of the NBA and not really play in the G League completely, Jay, but, you know, kind of it's like going to college to become an NBA player, which is what one and done guys have been doing, but have been going to college where the colleges have been benefiting by having them for a year. Your thoughts on how this is going to work and ultimately affect both the NBA and college basketball?
Well, it's going to work the same way minor league baseball works for major league baseball, except it'll be way more lucrative for the player and a better option because you're going to have, you know, sort of NBA tutelage to kind of bring you up for that 1 year and you know, an NBA socialization program, if you will. And you'll be able to work on your game without, you know, sort of restrictions that the NCAA puts on you. It's not the only path. It's an additional option for a player, and it's a good business decision, I think, for the NBA. But my concern really is more what college does, not in response to the NBA, but what college does to enhance its product. And you know, to me, if you're really about education and you believe in education, then I would think that you would try to make the case to young people that we want you in school. We think it's the best thing for you. And if you come to college, we're going to help you not only make money while you're here, which, you know, they would say to any student, but we would like to help you pursue your dreams and your education at the same time. If you decide to leave after 1 or 2 years, we want to maintain our relationship with you so that you'll come back and finish your education, be a lifelong learner, all this other stuff. But instead, in basketball, we seem to say that if you're not going to be Shane Battier or Bill Bradley, we don't want you at all. So go on your little professional pathway and don't come around us. But we're also not beating the drum. It's not like the NCAA is saying, you know what, because they say in basketball, if you don't want to be in school, you shouldn't have to be forced to come to college, as if somebody who enrolls in school is forced to be there. But they're not saying that in football. You know, we're not saying, hey, wait a minute. There are a bunch of sophomores and juniors that really don't want to be here. They'd rather be in the NFL. They should be allowed to go to the NFL. They don't say that. They tell them, do your homework so you can stay eligible, so you can play. And I don't see why we take this bizarre stance in basketball only when we're not taking it in any other. Like, nobody's a Jordan Spieth, 31-and-done golfer. Or you know, Tom Hanks, 1-and-done actor. That's a problem. But somehow Zion Williamson is a problem? It's not. And you know, some people point to Ben Simmons and say, well, Ben Simmons didn't want to be in college. That was revealed in his, you know, Showtime or HBO special, whatever it was. Well, I don't think that was Ben Simmons' problem. I think that was LSU's problem. All they had to do is say, hey, Ben, if you don't go to class, you're not playing. And they didn't do that. And that's LSU's problem. That is not, you know, the entire enterprise's problem, nor a player's problem. I think if you want, if you're an educator, we should be welcoming players to school and providing incentives for them, not barriers, which we've done for the last 100 years.
Jay, as far as basketball is concerned, though, do you think that this helps? That it, maybe the G League helps guys that are going to be there for 4 years, helps, you know, school? Can it improve the game? Can it make the game better because you've got guys that might be vested for 4 years that you know, the guys that were truly one and done that only wanted to play for 1 year? Does it help those coaches? Does it improve the game?
No. I mean, I can't imagine a scenario where not having Kevin Durant or Kevin Love or Derek Rose or Zion Williamson, or, you know, you name all the amazing players that we've had in the game, whether for 1 or 2 years before they went on to the NBA, that not having them at all is going to make college basketball better. It's not. It's going to make people feel better. It's going to make a certain segment feel better that remember back when players stayed for 4 years. That somehow, you know, if Tim Duncan and Grant Hill were playing now, they would stay for 4 years because they valued education somehow. That's just not so. You know, players didn't leave back then like they're like when I was in college, Michael Jordan left after his junior year, and it was like some sort of calamity. You know, that Jordan left early. You know, he'd never see his junior year now. And it's business. These are business decisions. And you know, look, if football players could leave earlier, they would do it too. That's just the way the world works. It's not a problem. My thing is what message are we sending to young high school players now, we being sort of the NCAA thing, what message are you sending to a young high school player if you're saying, hey, we'd rather not have you in college if you don't want to stay your whole 4 years? You know, it's the same problem we had before the one-and-done rule came in, where you had high school players that basically weren't working to become college eligible because they didn't really want to go to college in the first place. And so we call them kids, and we say, well, they don't have enough life experience to know when they should transfer, but they can make the decision on what they should do, college or pro, when they're 17, 18 years old. You know, I'm fine with them making that decision, but we ought to be encouraging, if you're an educator, you encourage them to come to college, and you make it easier, not harder.
Jay Billis joining us. Jay, last thing, with that, the one-and-done situation, it's been interesting to watch how some schools, Kentucky, you know, embraced it and did a great job with it. Your alma mater has ended up embracing it and doing really well with it, with Duke, and because you're able to get the top players in the country. Has it been good for those programs? And I don't mean just from a competitive standpoint, but because it's a different type of basketball. You know, when you went to Duke, Coach K was able to build a program. You're rebuilding a program every year, and I would think this G League thing, I don't know how that factors into that, but has it been strange to you to watch how college basketball at the highest level has changed because of that and adapted to it?
Well, yeah, it's evolved, but like, think about it this way. You know, in the 1960s, the ACC was all white. It was all white. And the SEC was all white. I mean, we had segregated leagues back then, and that was during my lifetime. So, you know, look, things have changed over the years and have changed for the better. The fact that players now have opportunities to go pro, what are we going to do? Say that if you're not willing to sign a 4-year contract to stay, you shouldn't come to college at all. It's something we don't say to any other student. Like, not to push back, but, you know, Kentucky and Duke have sustained great programs. They may have to change their roster every year, but their programs are sustained. And really, they're the two winningest programs in the NCAA tournament since 2010, when John Calipari got to Kentucky. They've won the most games. Now, some could argue, well, okay, another program, Villanova's won one more championship. Actually, Duke won in 2010 and 2015, so they've won two championships in that period. But nobody's won more NCAA tournament games over that period than Duke and Kentucky. They've won the most, and they've had the most turnover. So it's just a question of how you want to do it. I mean, I don't think there are that many programs that are saying, well, we won't take one and done. Most of them can't get them.
Yeah.
There just aren't that many of them. Duke and Kentucky have gotten a lot of them, and it's worked out very well for them. But my thing would be, who's being hurt by that? The players certainly aren't hurt by that. I don't think the institutions are hurt by that. Certainly their financial bottom line and their win column hasn't been hurt by it. It's mostly old folks that are going, wait a minute, this isn't the game I grew up with. And I don't think that's a good enough reason to start passing rules. It's almost like we're passing rules, the no dunk rule for Lou Alcindor or something, because we don't like what's coming. And he won anyway. And if you don't like one and done, they're going to win anyway. And you can't stop these market forces. It's just business, and it's okay.
You can follow him on Twitter at JayBillas, JayBillas. And Jay, we can't thank you enough for being with us again. Greatly appreciate it.
Thanks, Jay.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Jay Billas joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, ESPN college basketball analyst.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.